Good morning, everyone. If you can't hear me, just sorry, give me one second here. Right. If you can't hear me, just flag me down. I think I heard my own voice somewhere. Welcome to EMP on Zoom, from the comforts of your own home. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. We're going to read from chapter 1, verse 3 to 11 this morning. Right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 11. As I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which I have been entrusted. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, God, that for keeping us safe, keeping us healthy, and for giving us a venue, a means to do to gather like this, Lord. May we not take it for granted, Lord. At the same time, we just we pray for safety, for and the health for everyone that is. That is in Hong Kong. Lord, Father, we pray that for those who are sick, you would just heal them, God. Lord, we pray now for today as we pray, as we worship, as we listen to your word, God. Holy Spirit, may you work in our hearts. May you continue your work of transformation in us, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. All right. One of the great things about 1 Timothy is that it's fairly easy to see why Paul writes this letter, and that's actually one of the things that I'm really into is to figure out why the letter was written. I mean, it's great to just read the letter, read the Bible, and see, oh, that's great stuff. But it makes so much more sense when we understand the context that it's written in and what gave rise to that particular letter. Immediately. In 1 Timothy or in chapter 1, you see the reason Paul gives, or you see the reason why Paul's writing this letter to Timothy, what concerns he's trying to address. And basically, there were teachers within the church at Ephesus that was teaching something that was not sound or not correct doctrine. You could say heretical or inerrant teaching. We don't really know exactly what the content was, but just that they were teaching wrong stuff, basically. And he lists kind of like three things that they were doing. They were teaching strange doctrine, they were teaching myths and endless genealogies. And so strange doctrine, I can kind of guess what that is or like what that would generally mean in the Greek. Strange doctrine is heterodidaskaleo, which means teaching something different. So hetero, different, and skaleo, didaskaleo is teach. I think the term teaching something different is actually not the best term, because when we think of teaching something different, we're like, okay, well, it's different. It's maybe not that bad. But in terms of when it comes to the or really should tell inform us as how we should think of the gospel. When it comes to something different, it being different is not good in terms of the gospel. The gospel in this way is fairly black and white. It's either, Jesus died for your sins on the cross and he rose again, and the life that he lives, we live now. and we base our hope and trust and faith in that, or we don't. It's not, we can do something about our sins, and then we can choose to believe in Jesus. That is not the gospel. The gospel is you believe in Jesus or you don't. And you can see this problem come through in Galatians when Paul talks about how they bear up certain teachings, or the Paul is criticizing the Galatians for following the Judaizers, who say you can believe in Jesus, but you also need to do something else. You can read Paul and Galatians at a different time. So that's one of the issues that he was telling Timothy to deal with in Ephesus. The second issue that he says he mentions is myths. We know, you know, Greek mythology, Roman mythology, kind of the same, but they were what Paul was talking about wasn't only just fables or stories that sound far-fetched, but that these stories, because myths were intended to teach a lesson. There was a lesson built into the story itself. The problem was that the lessons that these stories were trying to teach were trying to teach deceptive practices. For example, I'm going to use Peppa Pig as my illustration. I have not let my kids, my kids watch Peppa Pig. If you do, it's fine. Just my own personal opinion. But I found that Peppa Pig encourages kids to be disrespectful, or Peppa in itself, the character is fairly disrespectful to her parents and to her brother. And I guess it just, for me, doesn't strike a very good tone in how it should teach kids. And kids, if you've ever seen them, they replicate what they see on TV very, very quickly. So for me, I don't let Jared and Micah watch Peppa Pig because I find that it encourages disrespect for elders and for family, and doesn't portray the fam or the dad and as like a very, I don't know, good figure or good father figure. So that's another reason why Paul was telling Timothy, you know, instruct these certain men not to teach myths, because not only are these myths not focused on Jesus, but they're giving or teaching deceptive practices. And the third thing that Paul mentions is endless genealogies. We don't really get that as much, because for us in the Western world, we're like, genealogies don't really matter. Like, genealogies are cool, but we don't really get the significance of it. But for Jews, they use genealogy to identify who they were, their identity, their status. That's why in Matthew and in Luke, there's this huge long genealogy. In Genesis, there's genealogies. In Numbers, there's genealogies. In Chronicles, there's genealogies. And like, when we read them, we're like, what's the significance of this? But for Jews, they rooted their identity. So it's like, if I can list out my genealogy, if I can tell you where I came from, that is my identity. I can prove my status as a Jew. I can prove my status as so-and-so. And so for some Jews, they might use genealogies as a way to show the credibility as a teacher, because I am descended from this priestly line. I understand the law. I can teach. Or they might even, and I'm doing some research on this, they might even use genealogies to establish how, you know, someone could be saved through their lineage, because they descended from this line. I'm descended from Abraham. I'm descended from as opposed to I'm saved because of Jesus Christ, not because of my lineage. Okay, so those three things, whatever the exact teaching was that these certain men were teaching, Paul was cautioning Timothy that there were false teachers within the midst of the church at Ephesus. Now, we might look at the letter, we might look at this issue, and like, well, I mean, we today in the 21st century, we don't struggle with these things. And it would be tempting for us to say, well, you know what? It would be easy for us to spot the errors of false teaching, because myths and genealogies, we know what myths are and we don't pay attention to them. But I think what is important is that Paul was telling Timothy that these practices were happening in the church. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29 to 30, This is describing Paul is making his address to the Ephesian church as he leaves. He says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." So I think what's important about this is that Paul is cautioning the Ephesian church, like, hey, people are going to come within you, not just from outside, but within you, teaching wrong things, drawing disciples away from Jesus. And I think we today need to be very careful, not just to look at that and like, well, that's their problem. We're smarter than them. But to look at it as like, this is our problem. We are no better. We're no smarter and able to like, don't worry, we got this, Paul. We're not going to have false teachers in our midst. And like you look at the church today, there's plenty of, if not false teachers, a lot of not great teaching. And so the question I have is, you know, what are some of these strange doctrines, myths, and endless genealogies in our day? How can we identify it? How do we know what is true? What is, how can we look at that and like, well, that's wrong. That's right. That's wrong. That's right. It can be overwhelming because there's so many kinds of false teaching. Like, how do we know which is what we should not pay attention to? The solution is not to identify what is wrong, but actually to fix our eyes on what is right. That's the easiest thing. Because if you know what is right, you don't need to look at 10, 100 things that are wrong, be like, is this right? This is right. You just know what is right and then make that your standard, right? There's a few things we can look to here. But I think the most kind of pertinent is verse 10 and verse 11. In verse 10, Paul writes, "Whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted." In verse 4, Paul also makes his mention of the administration of God, which is by faith. In the Greek, it can also mean the provision of God. And so basically, Paul is talking about, right, God has given me this gospel, entrusted me with this incredible message, the message of the cross, and how God wants to change the world. And that, if you read verse 11, that is what we should be basing sound teaching on. That is how we know what is sound teaching, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, what Paul is saying to Timothy is, preach the gospel, know the gospel, make that your standard, know what the gospel is. That Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and the resurrected life that he lives has been passed down to us because we have been given freedom and we don't need to try to rescue ourselves and save ourselves. And there's like different facets of the gospel. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. This is your standard. This is how you know what is true and what is false if it matches up to the gospel. It is not in anything that we can do ourselves, but what Jesus did on the cross. And so again, I bring up verse 4, the administration of God, which is by faith. It almost sounds like the administration of God is like grace, because grace is by faith. And it's talking about God's work. That is how we know. Even in verse 5, Paul kind of makes an emphasis on this. So verse 5 says, "The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and good conscience and a sincere faith." There's a subtle distinction here. The goal is not necessarily to have love from a pure heart. But Paul is telling Timothy, if you teach the gospel, then the result is that there would be love from a pure heart. And I'll kind of make that distinction with this example. I hope this works. It's like being able to not get angry because you're able to control yourself, right? And like, I can do it versus to be able to not be angry because there's this inner peace. And from that outflow of the inner peace, there's the ability to not be angry. I know that it's early in the morning. It might be a little bit difficult to understand. But what Paul is saying is that when you preach the gospel, that is when true transformation will happen. So for us, you know, strange doctrines, myths, and endless genealogies mean spiritual matters that do not draw our attention strange doctrines, myths, and endless genealogies means spiritual matters, any kind of spiritual matters that do not draw our attention simultaneously to our sinfulness as well as to Jesus' majesty. For example, this is just one quick one. Spiritual gifts, great things, and a lot of us, many of us, have been blessed through the use of spiritual gifts. But one of the things that can go wrong with spiritual gifts is that we take it and we make it into a way where we can become great in the kingdom of God, or in the worldly sense. We can build reputation. We can build, you know, wow, this person is so gifted. The problem with spiritual gifts in that way is that it can be very self-centered at times. You know, what has God given to me? What can I do? And already when we start to think that way, it's, you know, you can see that's not very gospel-centric, because it's what can I do? Rather, it's really, what is God doing? How is Jesus working in my life? And, you know, when we start thinking about that way with spiritual gifts, you know, like, God, you know, I need to give this prophetic word. And you're like, Lord, what is it that you want to say to this person? Please give it to me, right? Even in that, there's still this little bit we're holding on to of our pride, you know, of our image. When that happens, we treat ourselves as the subject as opposed to the object that is acted upon. Okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, he writes, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We are given this gift. And Paul is talking in the context of a worship setting. And there are arguments to say that it's not that we have this gift forever, but within this worship setting, God gives this gift. He acts upon us. Not that we, you know, possess something and we can like exercise it whenever we want. I mean, that's debatable, or this is an area of debate. But my point is, with spiritual gifts, we are not the subject. God is the subject, and we are the objects being acted upon. And so our focus, you know, when it comes to strange doctrines, myths, and endless genealogies, it is, or to be able to discern what those are, is to be, our focus must be on the gospel and the cross. And when we stray from that, that's when we become like the teachers that Paul talks about in verse 7, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. And to say that when we stray from the gospel and what the cross means and the resurrection, and when we stop talking about that, we become like these teachers, that's a pretty, I don't know, it sounds pretty heavy. But it should be, because we're not just here to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. We're not here to like tell someone like, hey, you know, just cheer up, you know, feel better. And, you know, let me give you this prophetic word. And the prophetic words are good. But if we're only here making someone feel better, that's not good enough, because we are dealing with people's eternal security. And it is only the gospel that will save them. It is only the gospel that would change them. And so, like Paul was encouraging Timothy, preach the gospel. And you see this all throughout the book of 1 Timothy, for ourselves as disciples of Jesus, right? Not just Christians, as disciples, we need to familiarize ourselves with the gospel, with like all the different facets and how it speaks to our life, how it transforms us and in all its beauty and its complexity. And we need to understand how the gospel highlights our sinfulness, our need for grace, how God displays his mercy over us, even though we don't deserve any of it. And it's interesting. So, you know, I didn't read, I didn't continue on reading, but from verses 12 to 16, Paul gives, you know, just one quick summary or one quick articulation of what the gospel is, how he was this chief sinner, but yet God displayed mercy and poured out his grace upon him. You know, one really practical, I'll just give this one really practical example to close. If most of the spiritual material that you were consuming, like sermons, devotionals, if most of what we feed on points more to what we can do ourselves to improve our spiritual lives, I would suggest having a think about it or turning to something else. Okay, I don't want to criticize three-point sermons and this and that, but if the sermons we are listening to, the devotionals, are saying, you know, you can do this, or just not you can do this, but just try doing this, as opposed to pointing you towards what Jesus has done, how Jesus in the gospel changes your life, then my suggestion is maybe have a rethink, right? Maybe have a think about, you know, is this pointing me towards Jesus or pointing more to what I can do in my own strength? And so as, you know, I would just pray and ask God, you know, for us today, you know, for all of us, you know, let us pray and ask God for mercy, for grace and for compassion to help us see and to recognize more readily elements of the gospel and how to apply it to our lives. That are my prayer for you, for all of us this morning, is we would learn what the gospel is, different articulations and expressions and different facets of it, and just see and understand how beautiful and glorious it is. So I pray, I'll pray, and then Wesley can lead us into worship. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would be merciful towards us, have compassion on us, Lord, and reveal more and more of your word, your gospel to us, the good news, Lord, and how we can have life in you. And how it's not about us, Lord, but there's so much freedom to be found. So God, lead us through this process of learning more of what it means, how we can live it out, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Cross, oh. child. Oh, the wonderful cross. Oh, the wonderful cross. Bids me come and die and find that I
Wes. Yeah, let's just spend a few moments just reflecting and just asking God to reveal to us the beauty of the cross. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community that are dealing with cancer and are undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and other surgeries. Let's pray for those in our community that are sick and also have yet to receive Jesus. Let's pray for healing. Let's also pray for open ears and just for God's mercy to flow over them to receive his word. Let's pray for those in our community suffering from various infirmities. Let's ask God to bring healing to them swiftly and just also for perseverance as they continue praying. Let's pray for those in our community looking for jobs. Let's ask God to open up doors for them, and just for divine opportunities to come. Turning to our mission focus, let's lift up our sister churches, SPSG, SP Indonesia, and SP Filipino. Let's pray for God to work in those communities, bring transformation. Let's also pray for their leaders, P. Sam Kim, P. Salman, P. Ernie, as they preach and teach the word of God. We could pray for the education department, for SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU, led by Lisa Donald and myself. Let's pray that God would, even at a young age, be able to show the kids, you know, the message of the gospel and how much he loves them, all the way up into college. Lift up the prayer and healing ministries, IP led by Matt, the well led by Sarah, and River led by Rachel. Let's pray for transformation to happen. Let's pray for the IP team as they just cover church in prayer, that people get healed when they go to the well in the river. Let's lift up our local outreach ministries, Igape, Homey, SP Lights, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for everyone that's serving in these ministries, as well as those that they're serving, that they would just display the light of Christ to them. Spend a few moments praying for pregnant moms within our body. Angela, Hazel, Joan, Common, Fiona, Audrey, Leslie, Tyon, Winnie, and others. Pray for Smooth, uneventful pregnancy, no complications, and that there'd be a smooth delivery of the baby when it comes time. Let's pray for the house churches happening tonight. Let's pray for Colin West, East Bay, McRobinson, Olympic, Robin Hood, Ventress. Let's pray for God to meet each, to show up at these communities. And just as they spend time praying and worshiping, that there'd be just such a rich time of spending time with God together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for passages such as these that remind us, God, of what is at the heart of our faith, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that it is because of what you do for us, that it's not anything of our own strength, God. And thank goodness, Lord. Father, we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for what you did on the cross. And Father, I pray that you continue to remind us each and every single day to approach you, God, because we can, Lord, and to learn more and to seek out more of what the gospel means, Lord, and how you have loved us and what you do for us and how you walk daily with us, Lord. We thank you, Father. Continue to be with us, Lord. Watch over us, keep us safe, Father. And we just, again, pray for the city, Lord. We lift the city up to you. Pray for our leaders that they would lead in wisdom and rule wisely, Father. We just give the city up to you. We give our lives over to you, Father. We trust you. We have faith in you. We hope in you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for EMP this morning. I pray that you have an amazing rest of the day, and we'll see you back tomorrow. Bye-bye.